Please turn to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. And if the words that we're about to read sound familiar to you, the song we were just singing is based on this particular psalm. The Bible teaches us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's a classic example of a psalm. I admire the original person who wrote Psalm 148. I also admire the one who prepared that song. I think if I had been him or her, whatever the case may be, after finishing that song, I think I would have put up my pen and said, I can't do any better than that. That's a wonderful example of a psalm that we're to sing. Now let's read it from God's Word. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. The book of Psalms consists of 150 psalms. They were written by a variety of people over a long period of time and under a variety of circumstances. Jesus considered the Psalms to be the inspired Word of God. It would behoove us to study them carefully, but we have to remember that this is poetry, and it presents a challenge sometimes for us to get to full understanding. But if we will be mindful of the circumstances in which the Psalms were prepared, recorded, it will help us in understanding them. The last five psalms, though, beginning at Psalm 146 and going through 150, all have something in common. They all begin and conclude with the admonition, "Praise ye the Lord." All five of those psalms have that particular matter in common. They all begin and they all end with that exhortation, "Praise ye the Lord." You know, I believe that if people today spent more time offering praise unto the Lord, we wouldn't have all the troubles and difficulties that we have today. There seems to be a tendency for downplaying belief in God. God's word is often mocked and ridiculed and blasphemed. But when a society has that particular approach to God and his word, the end result will not be good. My Bible still says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." If we spent more time and put more effort into offering praise unto the Lord, I'm talking about people in general, many of the difficulties that we have today would vanish away. So we need to take to heart the admonition that is given in these last five psalms. Now, there are many other verses in the Bible that teach us to offer praise unto the Lord, but if we would just heed what's being taught, about offering praise unto the Lord, I believe we'd be a lot better off. In our lesson, we want to base our study on Psalm 148 that we read just a few moments ago. And in a general way, we see that Psalm 148 presents a number of appeals. And those appeals are for God to be praised by the entire creation. So in general, that's what Psalm 148 is about. It contains a number of appeals for God to be praised by the entire creation. Now, this particular psalm just naturally falls into two sections. You can't always see this when it comes to studying the Psalms, but this particular one, you can see how it is divided into two main sections. The first section consists of verses 1 through 6. And after giving that exhortation, praise ye the Lord, notice that the writer says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Now that's the main point that's being made in the first section of Psalm 148. God is to be praised from the heavens. The second section of this psalm consists of verses 7 through 14. And notice how verse 7 begins. There's a change. The writer in the first six verses talked about praise being offered to the Lord from the heavens. And then in verse 7, he says, praise the Lord from the earth. So notice the change that's being made. Well, that shows how this psalm can be divided. That's the way we want to divide it in our study. After the writer of Psalm 148 began with his exhortation to praise ye the Lord, he called for the Lord to be praised from the heavens and in the heights. Now let's notice several specific appeals that are made from that particular point. The writer called upon praise to be offered to the Lord from the heavens and in the heights. But let's be just a little bit more specific. In verse 2, this is a specific appeal. An appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by all his angels and all his hosts. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2 for just a moment and read a few verses that have to do with the announcement being made that our Lord was born. Remember, there were some shepherds who were tending their flocks out in the field, and they were informed that Christ had been born in Bethlehem. We want to notice something that's recorded in connection with that. Luke 2, let's start at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Where did these angels and the heavenly host come from? They came from heaven. What did they do? They offered praise when Jesus was born. I have thought many times, wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there and hear that praise being offered unto God? Those shepherds enjoyed a great blessing. Now they were informed that Jesus had been born. But I've often thought how wonderful it would have been to be there and hear that heavenly host, all the angels, offering praise unto the Lord. Well, in Psalm 148, while the writer is making appeal for praise to be given to the Lord from the heavens and in the heights, he included all his angels and all his hosts. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 148. An appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by the sun, the moon, and the stars. I've mentioned this many times. I enjoy going out in the evening on a clear night and looking up and just admiring the stars, the moon. That's a sight to behold. And we were speaking to someone last Wednesday evening, and he said, I don't see how anyone can look up and see that and not believe that there's a God in heaven. Well, let's look at Psalm 19 for just a moment. David was the writer of this psalm, and he talks about the fact that the heavens and the objects up in the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. But the writer of Psalm 148 is making an appeal for the Lord to be praised by the sun, the moon, and the stars. All we have to do is go outside in the evening and look up and see the objects that God has created. Now, you can't hear what they have to say with the ear, but they all say something very important. They're declaring the glory of God. They're declaring that God exists and that he created them. Let's go back to Psalm 148, and in verse 4, an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by the heavens of heavens and the waters that be above the heavens. Now, after making these appeals, in verses 5 and 6, the writer explained why God deserves this praise. Now, he's talking about the fact that praise is to be offered to the Lord from the heavens and in the heights. He made some specific appeals for the Lord to be praised by the angels, all the Lord's host, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the heavens of heavens, and the waters that be above the heavens. Now, why does God deserve such praise? Look at verses 5 and 6 once again. The writer tells us in verse 5, that the Lord gave his commands, and all of these things were created. Now, that particular matter is touched on a number of times throughout the scriptures. Let's consider what's written in the great faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, let's read verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke, and things came into existence. Now that's power. And if you examine the things that God has created, you see design, you see intelligence. The world was not made in a haphazard way. There's order and there is design. But God deserves praise from all of these objects up in the heavens because he created them. He spoke and all of these things came into existence. Now, I personally enjoy reading the details of that in the first chapter of the Bible. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let's read a few verses beginning at verse 6. Now notice that the writer of Psalm 148 is calling upon all of these objects to offer praise unto the Lord. Why? Because God commanded and they were created. Moses is telling us about the occasion when God created these great objects. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Go down to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, verse 6 of Psalm 148 mentions that God established these things forever and ever, and his decree will not pass. Now, let's not misunderstand that particular statement. Some might conclude from verse 6 of Psalm 148 that the objects in the heavens will always exist. But you see, we have other scriptures that teach us otherwise. As a matter of fact, let's consider what was said after the great flood in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Genesis 8 and verse 22, now this is the Lord speaking after the great flood. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now notice how this verse begins. It begins with, while the earth remains. Now something is implied in that. There's going to come a time when the earth doesn't remain. What's going to happen to it? Now, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. In this particular chapter, Peter wrote in detail about the Lord's return. And in verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, the point that we need to consider from this is that the Lord's decree is for the heavens and the heights to offer praise unto him as long as they exist. And every time we go out and look up in the sky, in my judgment, praise is being offered unto the Lord, because God created those objects. He spoke, and they came into existence. Now, a lot of people find that hard to believe. But remember, the writer of Hebrews talks about faith. Through faith, we understand that God created everything. You see, we have the scriptures to tell us about what happened in the long ago. Well, we have to have some faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, we've looked at the first section of Psalm 148. Let's turn our attention now to the second section, verses 7 through 14. Remember that in the first section, there's a appeal made for the Lord to be praised from the heavens and in the heights. Why does God deserve such praise? Because he commanded, he gave his command, and all of the objects up in the heavens came into existence. But then there's a shift made beginning at verse 7. In the latter part of this psalm, the Lord is called upon to be praised from the earth. First, the Lord is to be praised from the heavens. He's also to be praised from the earth. Now, that's the general point that's made in this latter part of Psalm 148, but we want to notice that some specific appeals are made. The latter part of verse 7 has an appeal for the Lord to be praised by creatures from the deep. This is referring to creatures in the sea. God spoke, and all the great creatures out in the sea came into existence. In verse 8, an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by the weather. Notice what the writer mentioned. In verse 8, he referred to fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. These are different types of weather. And the writer of Psalm 148 is calling upon these things to offer praise unto the Lord. In verse 9, or at least the first part of it, an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by the mountains and the hills. Now, I was born in Florida and raised in Florida, lived here most of my life, but I was fortunate to be able to spend a little bit of time in other parts of the country. And I especially learned to appreciate some hills and some mountains. Now, I lived in West Tennessee for 10 years. We had a lot of hills, not any mountains. The mountains are in the eastern part of the state, in East Tennessee. And by the way, if you want to talk about the different sections of Tennessee, remember there's East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and West Tennessee. If you use any other terminology, people will know that you don't know what you're talking about. I learned that lesson the hard way. I like to pass it on every once in a while. Well, in East Tennessee, there's some beautiful mountains. They're also in North Carolina and Virginia and West Virginia and many other states. Being from Florida, I've learned to appreciate areas where there are mountains and hills. Well, we just don't have them here. All of these great objects are called upon to offer praise unto the Lord. And I don't know about you, but when I go to the area where the mountains are located in the fall of the year, I can almost hear with my own ear the beautiful leaves offering praise unto the Lord. I know one thing, they're saying, God made us. This is the way God designed things in the very beginning. And we're just doing what the Lord created us to do. But an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by the mountains and the hills. In the latter part of verse 9, the writer makes an appeal for the Lord to be praised by the fruitful trees and cedars. Over the years, I've learned to really appreciate this. Every once in a while, I come across a piece of lumber that just has an exceptional grain, and I have to admire it. I can't help it. And every time I see a beautiful piece of wood, you can see some beautiful wood that our pulpit is made from. Philip's friend made it for several years ago, and we appreciate that. But when you see the beautiful wood grain, you can't help but admire it. And that tells you something. That didn't come into existence by accident. But every time I admire a piece of beautiful wood, I think this, and Teresa's heard me say it a time or two, I admire it, and I say, and I think this all the time. The good Lord sure knew what he was doing when he made trees that produce such beautiful wood. We have a little table that Teresa's had for many, many years. It came from one of the homes where she and her family used to live many years ago. I'd like to know when this little table was built. I'm sure that it's older than we are. But for years, we carried that place, that little table around from place to place wherever we lived, and it really wasn't much to look at. Had a dirty, worn finish. There were water stains on it. It just wasn't much to look at. Well, one day, we decided to do something about it. We stripped that little table completely. And that was a challenge because it has some engraving on it. We sanded it and cleaned it. And that little table was made from some of the most beautiful oak wood you've ever seen in your life. And whoever made it knew how to build the joints together. I mean, he really knew what he was doing. But I'm thinking about the one who created the wood that table was made from. You can admire the grain of that beautiful wood, and you know someone made the wood that table was made from. Well, I know who made it. But notice that the writer of this psalm, Psalm 148, is making an appeal for the Lord to be praised by the fruitful trees and cedars. In verse 10, an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by various beasts as well as cattle. In the latter part of verse 10, an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by creeping things and birds. And then in verses 11 and 12, an appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by all people. And notice who are included: kings, princes, judges, young men, maidens, old men, and children. Now that includes everybody, doesn't it? At one time, I especially appreciated the fact that young men are called upon to offer praise unto the Lord. Now I appreciate the fact that old men are also given that responsibility. You see, that's a lifelong responsibility that we have to offer praise unto the Lord. It applies to those who are young, to those who are older, to people with various levels of responsibility. An appeal is made for the Lord to be praised by all people. And that's quite a list of individuals mentioned. Now, we need to keep in mind that God created these beings and these objects that we've just looked at found in the earth. Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read about the occasion when God created all of these things. We've already read several verses from Genesis chapter 1, which talk about the creation, how God spoke, and various things came into existence. Verse 9 of Genesis 1, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Notice that some of the objects that God created are included in Psalm 148. But let's continue. Go down to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's continue. Verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Well, it just seems to make sense that all of these objects are to offer praise unto the Lord. Why? Because he commanded and they were created. Now let's look at verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 148. And the writer tells us why the Lord deserves such praise. Now, we've already talked about praise being offered to the Lord from the heavens. Why does God deserve such praise? Because he commanded and the objects up in the heavens came into existence. And now we find that praise is to be offered to the Lord from the earth. We just saw that God commanded and all of these things on the earth came into existence. But why does the Lord deserve such praise? Look at verses 13 and 14. In verse 13, we find that the Lord's name is excellent, and his glory is above the earth and the heaven. That's why God deserves such praise, because his name is excellent. I'm reminded of the way that Psalm 8 begins and concludes. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's the way that that particular psalm begins and ends. The Lord's name is excellent. That's why he deserves such praise. In addition to his name being excellent, his glory is above the earth and heaven. But there's another matter that we need to mention briefly in verse 14. This is another reason why the Lord deserves such praise from the earth. He abundantly blesses his people. That's the point that's being made. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. That's why he deserves praise from the earth. All these specific objects that are mentioned, all these specific beings that are mentioned, he abundantly blesses his people. Peter made that same point in his first letter. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and read verses 9 and 10. Notice that Peter calls upon Christians to show forth the praises of God. And he mentions how God abundantly blesses his people. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. when we think about the blessings that God pours out upon his people, that deserves praise. Well, as we look at Psalm 148, we see that a series of appeals are made for the Lord to be praised. Praise is to be offered to the Lord from the heavens and the heights. Praise is to be offered to the Lord from the earth. But let's conclude with another appeal that's made in the New Testament. It's found in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. We might ask, how does all of this information apply to us? Remember, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Romans 15 and verse 4. There's a powerful lesson to learn from Psalm 148. I believe the writer of Hebrews wraps it up for us in this verse. By him, that is by Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That sums up what we've been talking about from Psalm 148. We're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. When we do that, God is pleased. God knows that we appreciate him. And as we live by the instructions that God gives us in his word, we're going to have a good influence upon other people. I hope that this will help us all to appreciate Psalm 148. What a beautiful and majestic psalm it is. Like I said earlier, if I had been the one who wrote that psalm, I would have been tempted just to hang up my pen and say, I can't do any better than that. But remember, we were also singing a song based on that particular psalm. It teaches a powerful lesson. One of my favorite songs teaches a powerful lesson. Well, let's remember that we have the responsibility to offer praise to the Lord continually. Now we've just enjoyed a season of thanksgiving, but we need to remember these things at all time, that we are responsible for offering praise unto the Lord.